Hello, and welcome to today's FirstGroup plc Q3 trading update. And throughout this, all participants shall be in listen-only mode, and afterwards, there will be a question and answer session. Just to remind you, this is being recorded. Today, I'm pleased to present Matthew Gregory, CFO. Matthew, please begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and thanks for joining the call this morning. I'm joined today by Rachel, Nick, and Faisal, and we'll shortly take you through the key points of the quarter. But let me start with the tragic Tramlink incident, which occurred in November 2016. We remain focused on working closely with Transport for London and others to support those affected. Investigations by various entities are ongoing, and we are cooperating in any way we can with them, but until they progress further, there is little that we can update you on. So turning to the financial performance in the quarter, overall, trading in the October to December period has come in very much in line with the trends we experienced in the first half and is consistent with what we were projecting at our half-year results last November. Q3 reported group revenue was up 12.8%, benefiting from slightly better like-for-like revenue performance in every division compared with the first half, as well as net favorable FX. Q3 revenue in constant currency was flat, with growth in North America offset by challenging U.K. market conditions and the rebasing of TPE's revenue under the new franchise. Year-to-date, reported group revenue is up 7.9% and down 0.7% in constant currency. Looking forward, our overall expectations for the full year are unchanged, and we continue to expect good financial progress and to generate significant cash flow for the full year. So let's go into the divisions in a little bit more detail. With the start of the new school year in First Student, we begin to see the benefits of the price increases and new contracts awarded in the summer bid season coming through on a volume base slightly reduced by the third year of our up-and-out strategy. You'll remember the average prices on at-risk contracts were up over 7% in last summer's bid season, and retention was in line with our budget at 80%. Although the strong U.S. employment market continues to cause driver shortages in some areas, our efforts to improve our processes meant we are dealing with the challenge more cost-effectively than last year. And with other cost management actions delivering a benefit from fuel and our performance year-to-date, we are reiterating our expectation that student margins will be at least 9% for the year. First Transit delivered a 5.5% increase in revenue in Q3, underpinned by organic growth and new business, such as our first U.S. commuter rail contract in Denton, Texas. Canadian oil sands revenue were down on Q3 last year, but the rate of decrease has slowed significantly, with oil markets stabilizing somewhat. In November, we noted that we're taking action to counter higher costs in certain contracts, which had depressed margins in the first half, and these actions are having the intended effect. We therefore remain comfortable with our expectation that Transit margins will be closer to 7% in the second half. Finally, in the U.S. is Greyhound. In November, we talked optimistically about the growing impact of our pricing tools and of the oil price drop bottoming out. While like-for-like divisional revenue increased by 1.2% in Q3, and point-to-point Greyhound Express revenue increased by 1.5%, which we take as encouraging signs going forward. Moving on to the U.K., where the trading environment has been more challenging. Starting with First Bus, like-for-like passenger revenues were down 0.6% in the quarter, a slight improvement on earlier in the year. With a mixed Christmas on the high street and ongoing congestion in places like Bristol and Manchester, the period was a continuation of the recent tough trading conditions for us and for the industry. As we said in November, margin progress in the face of these market conditions is very hard, and the impact of the stronger dollar on our fuel costs eats further into the profitability of bus. But we continue to improve the commercial appeal of our offer, including upgrades to ticketing, trials of contactless payments, and more accessible service information. We continue to secure tender work where appropriate, and we are attacking various cost lines through systematic procurement and process efficiency programs. And we will continue to consolidate our depot footprint and networks to improve returns, and we'll further expand on our plans at the full year stage. First Rail's like-for-like passenger revenue growth of 1.1% in Q3 reflects the industry's slowdown in growth, with TPE trading slightly above the industry average, but Great Western performing worse. Unsurprising, given the cumulative impact of all of the infrastructure-related closures on the Great Western network. We continue to work with DfT and industry partners to manage this work, which is essential for the long-term improvement of the passenger experience. And on the bidding front, we recently announced the formation of two joint ventures with Trenitalia, which will allow us to put together even stronger proposals for the East Midlands and West Coast bids. And we're now expecting the announcement of the South Western winner in April. In terms of our financial position, nothing really to add here other than to note we repaid $50 million of private placement notes in the quarter as planned. In summary, trading through the third quarter continues to support our expectations of good progress and significantly increased cash generation for the current year, with our substantial North American operations delivering encouraging performances and benefiting from currency tailwinds, while market conditions remain challenging for our U.K. businesses. Thanks very much for listening to that, and I'll hand you back to the operator now for some questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, could you please press zero and then one on your phone keypad now in order to enter the queue? After you're announced, just ask that question. If you find that question has been answered before it's your turn to speak, just press zero and then two to cancel. There'll be a brief pause while questions are being registered. Our first question is from the line of Joe Thomas at HSBC. Please do go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning. Can you just clarify, please, the passenger or the revenue growth split by franchise in U.K. rail? Second thing, just wanted you to elucidate a bit further, please, on the U.S. wage or labor cost issues. What is the latest rate of labor cost growth that you're seeing there? Sort of allied to that, are there any benefits from the latest executive order scrapping Obamacare there? I can't remember how much that sort of fed into your numbers in the past. If I might also, is there any weather impact? What is the weather impact this year versus last year in the U.S.? Is there any change, and indeed the U.K.? If I might also, your exceptional cost guidance, I think previously you were saying $10-$20 this year, and you weren't sure in future years. What's your latest thinking on that, please?
Right. Good morning, Joe. Yeah, it's quite a few there to cover through. Let me just hit the revenue by franchise. I mean, I think it's fair to say that the Great Western franchise has been pretty much flat for the quarter with TP and Hull Trains at the mid-single digits levels. Again, significantly better than the industry for those two, TP and Hull Trains, and Great Western flat, which is sort of slightly better than Q2, but still, you know, we're being challenged by the infrastructure work that's going on there. On the U.S. labor cost, I mean, overall, the wage rates are still around that sort of 2.83% level, and we're sort of obviously sort of working through those at the moment. Again, remember our issue with the labor cost there is in specific areas. It's difficult to say, you know, looking at a national issue, how that impacts through the driver cost. What I would say is that we, you know, we think we are doing a better job in both the recruitment side of things against a tough environment and also making sure we're handling those costs. Moving on to executive orders, I mean, that's clearly an interesting conversation for everybody, the impact of these executive orders. I think obviously we can't say what's gonna happen there. We can't say whether any of those executive orders are going to be actually coming into effect. I mean, I think that particular one about Obamacare, didn't they change the language from reject or repeal it? They changed it to repairing it. I mean, they're already kind of softening that, but we'll see what the impact is there. I think, you know, we in our U.S. business, there are a number of sort of things coming through in terms of sort of overtime payments and holiday benefits, those kind of things, which have been sort of factored into our numbers. Again, I don't think they're gonna be overly material. As you'd expect, we'd sort of be factoring that into our pricing. On the weather impact, again, it's a bit early really to be sort of clear on weather. I mean, when we're doing our numbers on weather, you know, we are looking at a sort of a five-year average of weather. When we're coming up with our guidance of more than 9%, that's still taking into account that there is gonna be some normal weather in the year. I mean, last year, you know, we had sort of a relatively mild winter. Actually our numbers this year, assuming that our position versus last year is gonna get slightly worse, but again, that's been factored in. We'll see how that comes through. Again, what we've got, what, eight or nine weeks to go. We'll see how that works through. And then the final one is about exceptional costs. Yeah, we talked about £10 to £20 million. We're not giving guidance right now, Joe, on where we're going to get for the full year, which is why I'm saying, for next year, which is why I'm saying we'll update you with the full year results. We're still working through our plans and what we're specifically going to do over and above what we'd already planned to do. I think for the coming year, the 16-17 year will be between that £10 to £20 million range. Again, it always depends on timing, when we're able to announce things and when we're able to decide things. But I think we can give you a much clearer view of how we're looking at the overall margin recovery plan for bus at the four-year stage.
Thank you very much.
Is that okay?
Yeah, great, thanks.
Great, thanks.
We're now to the line of Damian Brewer at RBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Got two questionnaires, if I can, please. First of all, on rail. I'm just wondering whether you could update us on Great Western in particular. There seems to be a lot of industry press speculation that Crossrail is running significantly behind plans, and obviously that would impact the contract end date. Is there been any movement or any early discussions on that to sort of head off any problems that could otherwise occur? And then secondly, coming to UK bus, you gave us the sort of, I guess, the sort of aggregate average like for like. Which locations were better or worse than that in terms of the growth rate and by how much? And then secondly, on that, could you give us some feeling of that revenue change, how much was influenced by the concessionary fares versus the commercial fare base? Thank you.
Sure. Let's deal with the bus question first. And I think, look, we're not going to get into sort of specifically which locations. I think in terms of sort of north and south, we still have difficulties in the north in terms of the passenger revenue growth. So it's fair to say the improvement came from our south business, which would be places like Bristol, places like Wales, that we've seen the improvement. I think, and in terms of the split between passenger revenue and the concessions, I think we've had a better period for concessions revenue this quarter, and the passenger revenue has been gradually, or so the rate of decline has been gradually slowing in the passenger revenue as well. But again, look, I mean, if I look at the UK bus piece in the round, yes, it's got slightly better this quarter. I think it's just difficult for us to come out and say this is definitely, this is definitely the sign of things improving. So I think we'll be better placed to take a view of that when we get to the year end, Damien. And then just an update on the rail. Yeah, I mean, obviously we're not really going to comment on where Crossrail is. I think we are in constant discussion with the DfT, particularly around our direct award and around the impact of the infrastructure and the electrification. We are obviously, from a business perspective, ploughing on with our plans to improve the services, and we're introducing new trains in this 2017 year, and we're working hard just to continue to improve the passenger experience. I suppose you could take the view that from the latest franchising schedule, there's been this sort of assumption that our sort of period of award will go up to 2020 now. But we are clearly in conversation with the DfT about a range of issues, but we can't really comment particularly on something like Crossrail.
Okay, thank you. Can I just come back to bus?
Sure.
Could you just give us sort of an idea of, broadly what the best and the worst was in terms of declines? I'm just trying to get an idea whether, we're talking about some parts sort of minus 1.6 and sort of up a bit, or whether the variability is greater than that.
In some places there are some positive moves. I mean, Wales particularly has been a stronger performer for us. And down in the southwest, where there have been some changes to the sort of the competitive environment down there, that's been positive for us. But in terms of some of the worst, I mean, there's been no real change or no significant deterioration in any of the businesses. So I would characterise it as some of our plans and some of our improvement plans starting to have an effect, which has made things get better in certain areas.
Okay, maybe something to follow up on the first June. Thank you.
Sure.
We're now over to the line of Joe Spooner at Jefferies. Please do go ahead.
Morning. Can you just talk a little bit about the shape of the cash generation that you're talking about in the statement? Obviously, I think the first half was quite working capital focused. Has that been the principal driver as you've moved into the second half as well? Then secondly, just on the Trenitalia JV, can you tell us what the ownership structure of those joint ventures are for the future bids? I guess, how have you ensured that both partners are aligned on that in terms of risk appetite? I guess their strategic objectives may differ to yours. Thanks.
Sure. Just looking at the cash generation, clearly this is a Q3 trading update, so we're not giving great guidance on the cash flow. What I would bring you to is what we talked about before, was that at the half year stage, we said the major drivers of the cash flow was EBITDA improvement and the reduction in the CapEx, and that the working capital was a change that we had just in that half year. Now, we will see some benefit in working capital, but the major driver for the full year is just improvement in EBITDA and reduction in the CapEx. That's, I suppose, all I'd really say on that. In terms of the rail relationship with Trenitalia, clearly, the ownership structure, that's pretty straightforward. We can tell you it's sort of 70/30 weighted to us, so 70% us, 30% them. We have discussions with a number of people in the rail industry. We've done JVs in the past, and we sit and we talk to individuals who, when we try and work out the best thing for each bid. You've seen for South West, we've had MTR. For the Trenitalia piece, clearly, these guys are experts in running high-speed services in Italy, and we think that's going to be very complementary to us, particularly around West Coast, where you've now got HS2 is coming into that franchise, at least in the initial stages. How do we approach it? We have conversations with them. We obviously know a lot of these people from many years. We know a lot of the players, and really having had the conversations, we decide on a franchise-by-franchise basis whether it's appropriate to do a JV with them. In terms of the risk side of things, this is a 70/30 JV. We both take the same approach. They are well aware of how franchise bidding has gone in the past, so they understand roughly where we have to be in terms of winning franchises. We'll see how that progresses as we go through the tendering process and working out the numbers.
That's great. Thank you.
We're now over to the line of Sam Bland at JPMorgan. Please do go ahead.
Hi. Two for me just on U.K. bus. Just wondered whether, you've obviously spoken in the past about adjusting the network scale there. Have you done anything in the quarter on mileage, maybe across the network nationally, taken out any mileage in the face of weak volume? Then also just that improvement in like-for-like, although it's modest, can you just talk about how the 0.6% was composed of price and volume, please? Thanks.
Sure. Okay. Well, on that first point, I'd say that in terms of volume and price, the volumes were largely flat, just very slightly positive, which then would tell you that the pricing side of things was slightly down to get us to the 0.6. I'd say, though, that that was just for one quarter, can be affected by a lot of things, whether it's individual fare realignments or actually just the mix between the performance in the different operating companies. We don't read a huge amount into that because clearly what we're doing at an OpCo level, every single business is trying to get the right prices within that competitive environment to make it attractive for people to come onto the buses. Look, in terms of the mileage, there isn't a wholesale change to mileage. We are looking at all of our OpCos and working out the best thing to do for each of those OpCos. This is what I'm saying about us coming back in the full year. We'll give you a clearer picture of what we're doing on top of what we'd already planned to do. The mileage is sort of slightly down year to date, which, you know, which reflects the fact that where we can take mileage out and take cost out, we're going to do that. But there isn't a one-size-fits-all solution to this, be it pricing, be it mileage, be it depots, whatever it is. We are taking a very specific approach to each individual opco to make sure we are doing the right things for the customers as well as the right things for our business.
Okay, that's great. Thanks.
Thanks, Sam.
Bye.
We're now over the line of an Andate at Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Just two for me, please. On US school bus, could you, and it's probably just because I'm out of the loop, but could you remind me where you are on the up and out process? I remember there was a capital markets day a couple of years ago, and you gave us a proportion of contracts that you were unhappy with that were loss-making or below WACC. Could you just update us on that? And then, still on school bus, staff costs aside, are there any other issues that are cropping up recently in your discussion with school boards? Is there anything new that we need to be aware of?
Take the second question first, if that's okay, Anand. There isn't anything particularly coming up from the school boards. The driver issue is something that we're dealing with. But no, across the whole country, there aren't sort of big themes that are coming out of that. I think, you know, going back to your point about the capital markets day, yes, we did have a process where we thought back in 2014. That we had maybe 35% of our business was in the sort of low margin area. We are definitely working our way through that. We talked about that at the half year and actually the previous full year as well. That, you know, we've had to keep adapting our pricing and keep pushing from that initial phase. This was a process where we were trying to establish how much the market would accept and tolerate. And we've been positively. We've been very positively happy with the way that the market has adapted here. So we've significantly reduced the amount of low margin contracts, and we're down sort of in the low 20s now. Which means there's still more work to do, and we've still got more contracts to work through, and we've got to continue with this approach to improve the margins.
And that 35% is. Can you give the number that is still you need to work on? We know it's lower. Clearly.
Yeah, I mean it is lower, but we're in the sort of the out of sort of. You can tell we've got 500 or so locations across the group. So we've still got in the hundreds, I suppose, to look at. But remember, some of our contracts are sort of 5-year contracts from the original stage, which we couldn't get into originally. We've obviously, as we've had costs going up, some contracts have sort of fallen into that lower bucket. So For us, I wouldn't really want to get pinned down on numbers there, so that you can start sort of modelling and working it through. What we're saying is that we've still got some contracts to work at. The pricing strategy is working, and we'll carry on going for the next few years in continuing to improve the pricing we're getting from the contracts.
Okay, thanks very much. And then just one on rail, not so much a. I just remember a couple of years ago there was this big argument that foreign companies with low financing rates and so on were just going to crowd out the UK operators. We've seen you guys do lots of you're bidding in several JVs. We've seen National Express pull out and sell to a foreign entity. Do you think there is a scenario where First Group or any of the listed UK peers decide, actually, maybe this isn't the right sort of market for us to be in? You guys have got the international exposure that some others don't, so presumably there are more options available to you. I'm just trying to figure out where do we kind of sit. If I'm a listed UK operator like First Group, why do I need to be in rail?
Well, I think, you have to look at it as a standalone business that you can choose to bid for or choose not to bid for. We don't bid for every contract. We bid for the ones that we think we can add value to. And we also have a very disciplined pricing model. We were successful with the TransPennine bid. We've been unsuccessful in other bids. We'll continue to monitor our ability to price successfully, so balancing what we think is an acceptable risk versus what competitors do, and we'll adapt our approach accordingly. I mean, what we're not going to do is sort of join any kind of race to the bottom. We're not going to put any more stress or risk on our balance sheet or on our business, and we'll continue to bid in a disciplined way. We've got some bids coming out. We've got Southwest coming out in April. We'll see how we get on with that process. I mean, I'd say with that particular bid, you had only two bidders, both of them being UK-listed PLCs.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
That was the final question for today. So, Mayor, please pass it back to you for any closing comments.
Great. Well, thank you very much, everyone, for joining the call. Appreciate your time on that. And if you've got any further questions, then you can give us a call later in the day. Thanks very much, and we'll close it there.
This now concludes today's call. So thank you all very much for attending, and you may now disconnect.